hope all is going well with you, my friends, that it's always a privilege to be here, to come together to worship God, and truly that's our desire, that the Lord desires to be worshipped in the assembly, the congregation of the upright, those who are saved. May we give of our praise, of our hearts to the Lord as we hear from Him. And so that's my desire, that the Lord would use me and pray for me, of course, as always. But notice the whiteboard here. And so I felt that this hopefully can be a blessing. You know, I always get a little bit more anxious, you know, when I desire to use the whiteboard, because I'm going to be drawing and doodling. And I pray it would be a blessing, not a distraction. Okay, so just pray for me. But title of this morning's message, "But One Thing is Needful." But one thing is needful. And if you perhaps recognize that, that of course is Jesus speaking to Martha when she was much cumbered with all kinds of stuff and serving. And of course, Mary was at his feet the whole time, you know. And so we know this account. But let's go to Luke chapter 10. We'll start there. Luke chapter 10. And but one thing is needful. And as we get, you know, as we're turning there, and I've preached this before. I've read this numerous times, you know. And it kind of got me thinking just in this passage, at least an application here. You have the two sisters, Mary and Martha. And of course, in fact, you know, they're similar, but they're not, you know. And of course, they're siblings. And of course, everyone's different, you know. But as we look at this, as the characters of both Martha and Mary, you know, I it kind of jumped out to me, kind of the two separate Christian mindsets that they had. Now, they're both believers. From the context, they're both saved, okay. They love the Lord. The Lord loves them, okay. So it's a wonderful relationship. But Mary and Martha both had very different mindsets, or Christian mindsets. And so I'd like to share today from their testimony of what happens here, end of Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, kind of the two Christian mindsets. You know, you have Mary's mindset, and then you have Martha's mindset. And how does that apply in real life? How does it mean to us? So let's go to verse 38. We'll start there. Luke 10, verse 38. And so this whole passage, this incident starts here. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered with much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Let us pray. Abba, Father. Lord, you're so amazing that you would even consider and yet desire and that even plan before time even started for our redemption through Jesus Christ, that you knew that we would fall away by our own sin and lust. And so you purposed Jesus Christ to save us and redeem us unto yourself so that we can be your people, that we can worship you, Father. It floors me, Father, that you can even be well pleased with a bunch of sinners coming together. But Father, we thank you that it's not our righteousness, but it's by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that you see him in us, Father. And so help us to be holy as thou art holy. Help us to even now give of ourselves to you, Father. It is such an awesome thought, Lord, that the church is not a spectator event. It is a participatory thing, that we are actively even now engaged in worship of you. May we truly have exclusive reverence and worship of you, Father. For truly, Father, you and you alone are worthy. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, speak to hearts and speak to the scriptures to each and every one of us, that we take it from you directly to us. Father, help me. Help me to have a merry mindset. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so really the story of Mary and Martha, from this application today, it kind of pictures two Christian mindsets, how Mary and Martha, even though they're both sisters living in the same home, they were hosting Jesus, but kind of very two different Christian mindsets. And so we'll start in verse 41 and 42, and then we'll back up to the previous verses, you know, as we see how it plays out, you know, these two mindsets. How does it end up, you know, leading us to different decisions, different thought process as we go through it, okay? And so, again, may this passage speak to us personally, as God desires every jot and tittle in his scriptures too. This is not just man's opinion of what God had said. This is the precious word of God. This is God himself speaking to us. It is a reverent thing. It is an awesome thing. When Jesus says in verse 42, but one thing is needful. Yes, in verse 41, he's talking to Martha. And in verse 42, he's talking about Mary. But as Jesus proclaims a universal, eternal truth, but one thing is needful, he is speaking, I hope we understand that he's speaking to us. He's speaking to me. As we read the scripture, God is saying, Wing, one thing is needful. One thing is needful, my friends. May we truly be in awe and in anticipation eagerly as you have God speaking to us. And so what are the two Christian mindsets? Okay, so what are the two Christian mindsets? Well, we have Martha's mindset. I'll start here in verse 41. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And so here's what I'm going to use the board. Again, this is just my mind. Okay, so it is, you know, I pray that it'd be a blessing to you. But in my mind, when Jesus tells Martha, and by the way, can I just share with you? Let me just confess here. I can totally relate to Martha. In fact, I think many times I'm like Martha, okay? And so as Jesus is saying, Martha, Martha, I can hear him picture how does God speak to me? Wing, Wing, you're burdened with so much stuff, right? You're doing so many things. You're burdened with, and trouble, anxious, careful with so many things. So and the idea here, this mindset here is like a pie chart. If you think of a pie chart, a circle with different pie slices. And so, Martha, you have so many things on your mind. So I'm going to draw this here. Try to. Okay. I got to be careful. I don't fall off the platform here. This could make it to maybe America's Funniest. I don't want that to be the case, okay? But, you know, falls over the board. But, okay, so... Mary, Martha, they're speaking to Jesus, and Martha comes to Jesus complaining that she's laboring all alone, she's cumbered with much serving, and can you please, Lord, ask my sister, she always does this, I don't know, she didn't say, maybe she said, I don't know, but help, can you have her help me, because I asked her, she won't budge, but if you ask her, she'll listen to you, because I know she listens to you. So, Martha, her mindset, she's cumbered, anxious, burdened with many things. So again, full disclosure, I see myself in Martha. So you have kind of a pie chart. Wow. I prayed for that as well. Okay, can you see that circle? It's kind of faded. But right here, Martha. Martha's mindset. And so she's, you know, great many things, you know, and so now she's a believer and she's sincere about following Jesus. So I'm going to put God here. He's a big part of her life. But then great many things. And I kind of plug myself into, I'm sorry if I'm blocking it here. And so I can really see myself in Martha. You know, you have God and then, well, you know. What things matter to me? What things matter to you? Well, you know, family, that's big. And so I have your family. And then, I don't know, you know, church, okay, ministry, church. And say maybe a, you know, service, things that you do, or ministry. Of course, you know, work, you know, your vocation, your job. Okay, so that's a pretty good sized chunk. And so we'll give it like maybe here. And so we have work, job. And then, I don't know, we have, of course, hobbies, right? You have things you like to do. And so hobbies, kind of how we parcel out our time, right? And then there's always the X factor. And so I'm just going to put here like life happens, okay? Things that... you don't plan for it, just happens. Oh, now you got to go do it, right? And so I'll just say life up here happens. Okay. Make sense? And so, yeah, just guessing just how we might play out in real life, and maybe we can identify with this. And so, you know, it's it's a pie chart. And so we have all these things. And then now Mary's mindset, on the other hand. So verse 42 is now, what's the contrast between Martha and Mary? Look at verse 42. But one thing is needful, Jesus is telling Martha. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. The difference is in verse 41, Martha has many things. Mary's mindset, just one thing. And so when I think of one thing, one point, one purpose, in my mind, I picture a kind of like a pyramid chart, okay? Kind of like a pyramid chart. And so if this is Mary over here, Mary's mindset, instead of a pie chart, what comes to my mind is like a pyramid. So I'm just going to draw something like that. And then, you know, pyramid has a top. And then, let's see, I'm going to go like that. Wait, one, two. So seven, something like that, okay. And so one thing, one point, one top. And so if this comes to my mind for Mary's mindset. Now, God, and in fact, Mary can even have the same categories, the same pie slices as Martha. But now it's laid out a little differently. And so where do you think God goes? Where should we put God for Mary? Well, okay, so I guess there's two ways to interpret the pyramid. In my mind, I was thinking top for priority, okay, as opposed to down for base, okay? But that was kind of what I was thinking. But how does Mary view God? Okay, who's on top of the food chain in her pyramid, right? Who's the apex? Who's the pinnacle? Who's at the very top? And so what does Scripture tell us about Mary? Before we just kind of throw it in there, what does Scripture tell us about Mary? And I want us to observe this. Mary is mentioned not a whole lot of times. This is Mary of Bethany. She is mentioned a total of 3 times in the Bible, which is still phenomenal. So she's mentioned 3 times, but did we realize that every single time the Bible mentions Mary of Bethany, she is at the feet of Jesus? Okay, every single time she's mentioned, 3 out of 3, she is at the feet of Jesus. She's at the feet of Jesus here, right? She's sitting at his feet, listening to his preaching, to his word. But let's go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, this is when Lazarus is raised from the dead, her brother. So let's go to John 11. So one book over. John 11, verse 32. John 11, verse 32. And notice what it says here. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And so she wants to pour out her petition to the Lord. She wants to, you know, complain to him like Martha did. Now, Martha's having a conversation with the Lord. But when Mary comes on the scene, she falls to her feet. It is a sign of worship, of reverence, of love, right? In fact, go with me to chapter 12, next chapter, chapter 12. And, of course, this is also Mary here. Chapter 12, she's anointing the feet of Jesus with that expensive ointment, right? And so John chapter 12, look at verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. It said basically like a year's worth of wages. So it's up there. Anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And so, does Mary love the Lord? Well, yes. I think all of us would say, yeah, of course she does. How much? I would say she is sold out to him. As much as anyone could. As much as a sinner can. I would say from Mary's testimony, she loves the Lord so much. She is completely devoted to the Lord. And so I'm going to, you know, again, depending on how you interpret it, I'm going to say top is the best from that standpoint. Okay, so I'm going to put God here for Mary. Everything that she does, her mind is for one person only, the Lord. Every decision she has to make, there is one factor that she considers above all else. Is it God's will? Every situation she's in, there's going to be one reason only. Is it for God's glory? Everything is it for God, for God, for God. Is it for the Lord, the Lord, the Lord? And so you can, we kind of, you know, everything else falls into place here. And so we can put family here. you know, and church. Now, I'm kind of modernizing it for us in our context, okay? But, and then ministry or service, things you do. And then job, work, hobbies, and then life happens, things that you don't plan for. But whenever anything comes up, she's thinking always, just one person, God. Every event in her life, that life happens there, is directed to one purpose. That's her desire for God's glory. Every decision is based off this one principle. Is it God's will? And so it's, in fact, I think of last week's message, exclusive worship, right? I mean, it's all that she does is for the glory of God. And there is no one higher. There's no one more important. No one more dear to her. No one closer to her. No one she worships besides God. I mean, there's no one above him. I mean, he's at the top. That's it, right? Makes sense? Because she is a devout follower of the Lord. And yes, I understand God gives us blessings. He gives us our jobs. He gives us our livelihood. But what is the purpose of what God has given us? To glorify him. Yes, I'm so thankful for my family. God gave me my family. But my friends, remember what Jesus said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, not hate, but what Jesus says is you love him so much that everyone else is a distant second. And when I look at Mary's mindset, I'm like, well, yeah, she's got it. I love my family, but my friends, I better not put my family ahead of God. Not just in theory, but in practice. I better not do things for my family that I wouldn't do for God. Oh, me. God loves us. God loves you. He wants to be preeminent. He wants to be number one in our life. Now, look at Mary's pie chart, because Mary, I'm sure she's sincere. She means well. Any Christian, if they are sincere, they would want to have God number one. We do. Now look at Mary. She's got the same categories as Mary. They share the same categories. But look at Martha's pie chart. God is in there, but he's kind of mixed in with everyone else, right? And everything else. So how does that play out in real life? Okay, so what mindset do I have? Well, look at verse 40. Back in our main text of Luke 10. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10 and go to verse 40 with me. And we're going to stay in verse 40 for a while because there's a lot in there. Look at verse 40 with me. And through this conversation with Mary, it kind of reveals several key life principles that kind of how life is. Okay, kind of how life is. You can't change these principles. It's kind of how it is. But based on whether I have a Mary mindset or a Martha mindset, I'm going to respond to these, you know, these life principles differently, okay? So, look at what Martha says in verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. So much to do. So here is life principle number one. And so regardless of what mindset you have, this is how life is. Principle number one, there's always something else that needs to be done. Okay, hang on. There's always something else that needs to be done. The demand for you to do stuff is always going to be way greater than your supply and ability to do that stuff. This is principle number one, how life is. There's always more that needs to be done, right? There's always something that's needful to be done. It's not like it's bad. It's a legitimate need. There's always something that's needful to be done. So, by the way, don't fall into the trap and just wait for the stars to align for nothing to be done else to be done before you serve God, because you'll be waiting forever. Okay, hang on. Don't just wait around like, oh, if God wants me to read my Bible, he'll give me this bonus time, and you might call it, you know, time change. No, but if God really wants this to happen, things, and then you'll be waiting around forever, because there's always something that needs to be done, always. And so don't wait around for that. Now, it's going to compound. These principles kind of snowball, has a snowball effect based on which mindset we have, because point number two is this: we cannot do everything that needs to be done. So it gets worse. Number one, there's always more that needs to be done. Okay, it's not going to go away. There's not going to be a idle time. But number two, it gets worse because we cannot do all that can be done. We can't. It's an impossibility. Look at what Mary says here. Lord, doth thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Case in point, Martha and Mary, they could only choose either or, sit at the feet of Jesus or do much serving. You can't do both. Okay, I mean, you know what I'm saying? So principle number one, there's always more that needs to be done. But then it gets worse because principle number two, we can't do everything that needs to be done. You got to pick and choose, right? Martha is cumbered here. Jesus says, with much serving, much serving. And so if you think about it, you know, I mean, we can certainly apply this, interpret this. You know, I like to have some fun with my imagination. I know it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing, you know, but in my mind I'm thinking, okay, Martha, she's superwoman. She's want to clean this spotless over here, you know, and put in the pot roast over here, and have the muffins over here, get the desserts going. I mean, the whole list, she's doing so much. And so what she's doing is she's jamming in slices, okay? She's cumbered with much things. So she's putting in slices. I'm going to put this in here. I'm going to get this here, and then here. Now, what's going to happen when she does that? What happens to her God portion? Smaller. Shrinks. Because she's jamming stuff in, so it's going to shrink. Now, it gets worse again. Because when the God portion shrinks, we're not as close to the Lord anymore. We don't pray like we should. And notice what, now she's not really praying, okay, but you can draw that applique, because she is talking to the Lord. And she has a request from the Lord. And notice what her request is, and if we are like her, it will be our prayer to God, okay? Because what do we pray for? Notice, because of her mindset and her circumstance, her God pie is shrinking because she's slotting other stuff in. Notice a prayer, because this is life principle number three. What we need ends up being what we pray for. What I perceive that I need ends up making my prayer list. And so she's asking the Lord, doth thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her. This is her prayer request to the Lord. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Lord, I'm sinking here. Lord, I can't do this on my own. Mary's over there. Can you help me by helping her help me? You know, can you tell her to help me? Now, Jesus doesn't answer. I mean, he talks to her, but he doesn't grant her request, right? He corrects her, but he doesn't grant her ask. And the thing is, the trap for you and I, when we just slot, if we have a Martha mindset, as we try to do so much, nobly so, commendable, I want to do everything. I want to please everyone. When I do all that thing, my God slice is going to shrink. And then my prayer will be out of sync with God, and I'll be asking, oh Lord, can you please give me this so I can do that? Can you please give me this so I can do that? Can you please get on this brother? Now, Mary here, but can you please get on this gentleman, this brother in Christ or whatever, so he can step up? Because I'm sinking here, okay? I mean, whatever the case may be, when my God slice gets smaller, I'm not as in with the Lord, I'm not as close with the Lord as I should be, and my prayer isn't what I should be praying. And then when God doesn't answer, because Jesus does not answer Martha's request, I mean, he doesn't grant her petition. And then when God doesn't answer what I'm praying for, guess what? I get discouraged. I get discouraged. I get weary. Here's my temptation. When God doesn't answer my prayer, I'm like, all right, fine. You don't want me. You don't answer me. Why am I even praying? And then it just continues to shrink, right? And then if I'm waiting around for that pie chart to open up so I can slot God back in and give him as much devotion as I need to, it's never going to happen. Because there's always more that's need to be done. It's never going to go away. What makes it worse? We can't do it all. So it's doubly bad. And then make it even worse yet, if I have the wrong mindset, I'm going to be praying for the wrong thing, and then I just downward spiral. Okay, so it's very subtle, and Satan works by subtlety, and so that's the trap. So how do we get out of it? How do we avoid the Martha mindset? Well, look at verse 42. How do we get out of this, you know, Martha trap here? And again, not to bash her, okay? I'm just saying, I'm like a Martha, okay? How do we avoid this pie chart mindset? Look at verse 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. And so here's the fourth life principle. It's not about doing everything good. Because we can't do everything. Okay, so it's not about doing everything good. It's about doing what's best. Hang on. It's not about doing everything that's good, because we can't. It's about doing the one thing that's best. And Mary chose Jesus. She chose God. She chose the Lord. Because that's her mindset. Whenever she had opportunity to worship Jesus, to worship the Lord, she did. At his feet, in prayer, in reverence. She's not going to pass it up. Because that's etched in stone. That's blacked out. You know how we have in our family, we at the start of each year, kind of look at the calendar, write all the birthdays, you know, and so I don't forget. I'm not very good at my memory, okay? But we write those special days down because those are blackout days, right? When something else happens throughout the year, like, oh, yeah, like, ooh, sorry. That's Oliver's birthday. That's off limits. You know, one of those things, you know, it's a blocked out day. It's stuck in there. You know, and Mary, in her mindset, God is on top. Nothing's going to change that. We know, right? Can't you tell? We can tell, right? When someone thinks of us as a pyramid or a pie chart, we know, right? Wives, you can sense when your husband has you as a piece of the pie and you're not the top of the pyramid. Husbands, we know it when we feel like our wives just have us as another slice in their life, not at the top. We know it, okay? We know it. God knows it. God knows it, okay? And so how do we get out of it? Well, it's not about doing everything that's good, but doing what's best. I can be a jealous husband. I miss my wife. She went out to Dunbar with the teens. Miss her so much. If she comes back and like say, hey, I'm going to go minister to so-and-so, I thought, well, I guess that's good. But I want you. Hey, I'm going to go to the soup kitchen. I'm like, well, that's great. And that's what Jesus said. The poor you have always, but me you have not always. Helping out in the soup kitchen is not bad. It's good. But Mary was one of the few in John 12 that understood that Jesus was going to die. His time was short. Like a loved one who's got cancer. If my loved one had 2 weeks to live, I'm going to use all every minute with them, right? After that, I can go to the soup kitchen. I mean, why will I like, well, you know, I got to go this. No, where is it, right? And so which priority? And so it's if we're not careful, we can spend our entire life doing only what's good, which is not bad, it's good. But we will never do what's best. If we're not careful, we can spend our entire life like Mary, literally spitting our pie chart, doing what's okay, but never having Jesus on top and the Lord on top and giving him exclusive worship, exclusive reverence. Mary's mindset elevates God. She was always going to worship the Lord. Whenever she had the opportunity, it was a no-brainer, it was a given. And it doesn't matter, unfortunately, it doesn't matter how good we fill up our pie chart with. It doesn't matter what good things we put on here. I'm going to use this illustration of the church at Ephesus in Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And I'm going to swap out Martha here with the church now. So this is as a church body. So the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. This is their pie chart. Because I want us to see what God says here. Okay. So verse 1. On to the angel or the pastor, okay, the preacher, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. This is Jesus Christ himself, the head of the church. And Jesus does give them praise where it's due. He sees and knows what they're doing. So I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. I mean, so he commends them right off the bat. He knows their labor. And so again, if I were to kind of modernize it for my context, for my understanding today. So he knows that they have all kinds of works, all kinds of ministry. So I'm just going to say ministries, this church. So Martha's mindset here is church at Ephesus. So they have all kinds of ministries. So I write ministries here. Maybe they have, I don't know, maybe they do a bus route. Okay, I'll put it here. Perhaps they have a lot of discipleship programs, which is good. It's needful. And so I'll put discipleship. And then maybe they do a lot of outreach. Hey, that's fantastic. And then the Lord says, look at the rest of the verse here. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And so, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and not, and are not, and hast found them liars. And so, you know, they're very outspoken against false prophets, doctrine, you know, so maybe a Bible doctrine conference. Maybe they do that every year, okay? And so that's a big one for them. So Bible doctrine conference. So very commendable works, you know, and even has said here, well, let me keep going. Okay. Verse 3, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. I mean, so that's very commendable to these dear saints. I mean, they're doing a lot for the Lord and they're not letting up. And so maybe there's maybe there's a whole bunch of revival conferences that they have, you know, so here are revivals. So looks good, sounds good, but look at verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. First love. And so they're doing everything. Oh yeah, by the way, God's going to be in there. So we'll kind of fit him in here. God. Can't forget about him. Now, consider this. If we asked ourselves, who is Mary's first love? God. No brainer. No doubt about it. It's very obvious. So obvious that Martha, like, okay, but God, she loves God. Okay, yes, I know you love God. Now, who is Martha's first love? I'll be like, I hope God. But it could be serving, which is not bad. Don't get me wrong. But God is a jealous God. He wants to be number one, his person. The church at Ephesus, it might be hard for me to judge them, and we're not to judge because we don't know hearts, but God knows hearts. And the Lord is saying, as the head of the church, to this church, thou hast left thy first love. You left me. You left me. How big a deal is this? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. They're fallen. And repent. And do the first works, which is to choose him. Or else I will come upon thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. I'm sure they meant well. I can see myself in Martha, you know, this kind of, but here's the thing. There will never be a time when there's nothing needful to be done. There will always be something that's needful that needs to be done. And then it makes it worse. We can't do it all. And if we try to do it all, it's a subtle snare of Satan, because Satan wants us to move our mindset from the pyramid, where God is on top, everything is for him, his purpose is glory. If it doesn't fit in this, sorry, I'm not doing it, to a pie chart. where God is just a piece in there. Here, God is talking about removing his candlestick from this church. It means they might still assemble, but God is not going to bless them. He's not going to be their head anymore. They're just going to be a crowd. And there's a big difference between a church and a crowd. A church is divine. The head is Jesus Christ, the God of the universe. And as God can remove the candlestick from the church, maybe this church, maybe my life, my marriage, my family. I mean, God removing it, they cannot lose their salvation, okay? But he's talking that they are no longer going to be one of his churches. He's not going to use them no more. The power of God will be Ichabod in their life, okay? So that's my challenge for us. What mindset do I have? Do I have a Martha mindset, or do I have a Mary mindset? Food for thought, to abide in Christ. Mary mindset, to be a good soldier, to please him who has chosen him, right? Not to be entangled with the affairs of this life, this world. We all have affairs, things that we need to do. But Paul is telling Timothy, don't be entangled by it. Don't get caught up in it. Serve the Lord faithfully. Food for thought, what kind of mindset did Abraham have when God said, Abraham, I want you to give me your son of promise, Isaac? Abraham goes, okay. I can guarantee you, my friend, Abraham, in his mind, Isaac and God didn't share the same place on the pie chart. It wasn't just God is here, and then God is kind of thrown in there with everyone else. In Abraham's mind, God was on top. Whatever God said, goes. What about Job? I mean, we have all these heroes of the faith. Every single one of them, whenever they served the Lord devoutly as they should, as God desires, God was number one at the top. Too often in my life, God is just a piece of the pie. God wants exclusive worship, exclusive fear, exclusive reverence. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your goodness and mercy to us. Thank you, Father, for just the testimony of Mary and Martha. Lord, when we choose you, Lord, it's always the right choice. Help us to not compromise, Lord, and help us to have the mindset of Sister Mary. Lord, that everything in my life, the purpose needs to be your glory. The job you've given me, your glory. The children you've given me, your glory. The life you've given me, your glory. The finances you've given me, your glory. That everything in my pyramid points towards you and funnels towards you for your glory. Lord, help me not to have a Martha mindset, Lord. I confess that that's me. I'm always trying to do so much, and we can't do it all. Help us to do what is best. But one thing is needful, and that is to choose you every single time. Father, we love you. And bless, Lord, as we deal with you, as you deal with us. In Jesus' name, every head bowed, every eye closed.